Well, good morning, everyone.
Good
to see each and every one of you. We're thankful that you're here. We're honored by your presence. We're encouraged by your presence. We're always thankful for these opportunities that we have to be with one another. We're thankful for Terry and leading those songs, and we're thankful for Brother Harvey leading that prayer. And we are so thankful for the men that we have that are willing to do those things. It's hard to get out of February without talking about love a little bit, and that is our topic this morning. Love, and considering the depth of love that we are to have for others. We're going to consider different categories where our love is to extend, but not only to the areas of life where our love is to extend, but the depth of that love. You know, you start to think of that, you know, depth. You know, sometimes you'll get into water, you don't know how deep it is. And sometimes when we get into relationships, you know, the depth of that love is challenged. How deep is that love? Because we know that there are some shallow loves out there. There's some weak loves out there. What we want to look at this morning is our love for others. How deep is it? Is it 5 foot deep? Is it 10 foot deep? How deep is the love we have for those that are around us? You know, what's interesting, I think there has been a lot of shifts in our culture, but I think there has been a shift in recent years in relation to love, in the perception of love. I think if you look out in our culture, you might be able to see little bits of what I see from time to time, but I think almost our society is painting a picture that love is easy. That love just happens. That love is sometimes passive, and you don't really have control over it. And sometimes you don't have anything to do with it at all. Love just comes. And I find that that love seems to go away just as quick as it comes. A love that fades. A love that doesn't stay around long. It seems like our society has tried to take love and make it strictly an emotion and not part of your character. Because I think when we look at what the Bible teaches on love, is love almost is a moral obligation, a thing that we should be striving for to develop, something that is supposed to stay for a long time, something that is not fleeting, something that's long-term, and we could start going to the characteristics that the Bible gives love. But our society has slowly taken love and said, love is quick. Love is easy. Love just happens. You don't have any control. It's an emotion that comes and goes. Is that the love of the Bible? Is that the love that is painted for us when we start to look out at what the Bible teaches? See, I think there is this idea of a shallow and a deep love. And I think that we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves as we approach different individuals in our lives, do we have a shallow love for them or a deep love for them? Do we have a love that is quick, easy, and it just depends on if they're treating us good that day, right? If they're treating us good that day, then we're going to love them. But if they're not treating us good, then we're not going to love them. This idea of a shallow and deep love. How deep is your love? What is the depth of your love for others? Certainly, this is a challenge. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 46, it says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" See, Jesus, in those words, I think is trying to point us to the idea of the depth of our love. Is the world is trying to tell us what love is. If love is easy, love is fast, and love can depend on how other people treat you. But the reality is, I think the Bible paints a different picture. If love is hard, love is difficult, love takes time, it takes commitment. Sometimes it takes our reserve. It takes our patience. Our love, is it shallow or is it deep? Many times when I look at the love that the world describes, I view it as a selfish love. It's a love of want. It's a love that whatever I want, whatever I desire, that is where my love starts and ends. But when we look at the love of the Bible, extends to others. Putting others' interests before ourselves, the depth of that love. The love of the world sometimes is dependent on how someone treats you, but the love of the Bible almost is not even contingent on the way that people treat you. Our love is extended to all, just as the love that we see comes from Jesus. His sacrifice was for all. What a depth of that love. The love of the Bible is not the fast, emotional attachment that disappears at the first sign of difficulty. You know, I always think about this when we think about marriage and divorce in our country. It seems like that our world really is selling a shallow love. A love that when it gets hard, it disappears. A love that is fast, a love that lacks commitment, a love that is not deep, but a love that is shallow. How deep is our love? I do think about that sometimes, is that we think about the love that's being taught to the next generation. Because we do look, and we can probably look out in the world where we can say, yeah, that is taught sometimes in the world. At least not, maybe not in word, but by example. That the love that does not endure hard times. The love that does not get through the up and the down. The love that does not last. The extent and depth of our love, I think, is important. And I think as we develop as Christians, the depth of our love should be growing. It should be growing for different categories of people. It should be growing for our brethren. It should be growing for our spouse. It should be growing for our enemies even. Is the depth of your love getting ever deeper? Or have we adopted the love of the world? A cheap love, a fast love, a weak love, a shallow love, a love that does not last through the hard times. Let's look at some of the categories that our love is supposed to extend to. If you turn over to 1 John, there is a lot of talk of love, and one of the topics is immediately turned to our brethren. And this is one of the categories we want to consider this morning, is the depth of love for our brethren, our brothers and our sisters in Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 7 and continue through verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent His only beloved Son into the world, that He might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." One of the areas of the Christian life that our love is in relation to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And what you realize is how deep this love is described right here. The love that we're supposed to have for one another is immediately compared to the love which God has shown us. The love of God sending His only Son, His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. It says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. How deep is your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Certainly we understand that the intimacy and the relationship that we have with one another sometimes challenges things. Sometimes we talk about, sometimes the relationships you have with your close family, those people that live in your household, sometimes those relationships get strained. I'm not going to say that brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes our relationships are not strained. Why? Because we're close to one another, spiritually, but also physically. We get to see one another, we get to communicate with one another, and when you get close to somebody, what happens? You start to learn things. You start to learn about some of their problems. You start to learn about some of their issues. You start to learn about some of their ticks. They start to learn about some of your ticks. And you really have an organic relationship there where brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not perfect. We have different, we are working together, and because we're working together and we are in this close relationship, we are going to have things that pop up from time to time. But the love has to stay there. Just like with a husband and wife. If a husband and wife, as they live together and they enter that bond and then they start learning things about them, those ticks and those little things. It's not that some of these ticks aren't necessarily bad, it's just, you gotta work with those things. Just as brothers and sisters in Christ have to work together. You know, we can work together better when we love one another. When the love that we have for one another is not shallow and it is deep, we can approach one another, work with one another, and as we go through this journey of life, we can be there for one another through the trials and the struggles and the temptations of life. In fact, when you start to look at this love, I think it's almost one of the strongest demonstrations of our commitment to the new life. Because the world does not ask you to love too much. In fact, what does the world say? You can love who you want to love. You know what? The Bible doesn't give you a whole lot of choice. When you start reading the Bible starts saying, hey, you need to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to love your enemies. You need to love. It's like, wow, I got to love everybody. Yep, that's what the Bible says. But you know what? God doesn't ask us to do anything that He did not do first. He extended His depth of love to everyone. But it's one of those strong demonstrations of our commitment to the new life when we become a Christian. Certainly there are a lot of things we're going to have to work through with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it certainly helps when the tank of love is full. See, how full is the tank of Christ? His love. Can we put a number on it? You know? It, just like your gas tank. How full is God's love for us? And does it ever run out? Does our love run out for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Some days are we running on empty? We need to remind ourselves of the love that God has for us. Because He's saying, the love that I have for you, that's what I want you to carry to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, in 1 John, we don't have to go to a different book. It talks a lot more about love and the love that we should have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, picking up in verse 10 and going to about 15, it says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who was not as Cain who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You know, that's a powerful passage and a lot to unpack when it comes to that passage. But when it starts in verse 10, it says, the children of God and the children of the devil are going to be made manifest. It says, you're going to know who the children of God are. You're going to know who the children of the devil are. And it says, basically, by their practices. But then what does it go into immediately? Love. It goes immediately into love. It says that you should love your brother. So it's talking about individuals that are going to be the children of God and individuals that are going to be the children of the devil. And it says, how are they going to be manifest? And it says simply that the children of God, they are going to love their brother. Then there's this interesting comparison as you go down, you get down to this talking about Cain. It talks about Cain and his relationship with his brother, his physical brother, and how it bothered Cain that his brother was practicing righteousness, so he kind of lashed out and he ended up killing his brother. And the Bible warns us, it says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Is that when we're going to do good things, even though they're good and right, there's still going to be people that lash out about us. But what's interesting, when it talks about loving your brother, it says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Now that's quite a comparison. It says, hey, the people of God, the people of the devil, you're going to know the difference. It's basically saying the people of God are going to love, and if you don't love, you kind of fall in this crazy category that immediately, I mean, it's a comparison of them, but it's immediately putting you in this category. If you don't love your brother, you're like a murderer. Well, how can we jump that far? How can we go that far? Well, if you remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is giving a lesson there, and he starts talking about murder, and where does he say murder starts? In the heart. We have to be very careful in understanding the depth of love that we need to have for one another. And how serious the Bible is about the topic is that the depth that we should have for our brethren should be a commitment. It should be long-lasting. It should be long-suffering. There's a little patience that goes along with it. There's a lot of understanding that comes along with it. We're not perfect, but certainly when we have the tank of love full, when the depth of our love is strong, and it's the depth of love that God wants us to have, certainly we can get through a whole lot. And when I read 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, I really sense that the Bible is tying love to your character. It's when I start to read through that, I start to see, you say, hey, here's the children of God, here's the children of the devil. What do the children of God do? They love. It's a character trait. And I'm not saying that our brethren from time to time might not test our character. Our brethren from time to time can test our character. They can test our love. But we have to be there to answer the call and make sure that we are there doing those things that we know are good and right. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What I've always found interesting about that passage in John chapter 13, Jesus is very, very close to being betrayed. In fact, when you look at it, it looks like about the night of. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, he says, a new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What is Jesus about to do? He's about to go to the cross for people that are not necessarily going to be loyal to him. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes in these coming hours as these things happen. But does Jesus go, hey, I know what's going to happen. I know that you guys aren't going to be faithful. I know you're going to be disloyal. I know you're going to make mistakes. I'm not going to love you. That's not what he did. He kept on loving, even though he knew all the circumstances, all the things that were going to happen, all the mistakes that were going to be made. Jesus went to the cross, a sacrifice of love for those that made mistakes, for those that were not perfect, for you and I. And I think that's a test of Christianity, isn't it? It's not that we're going to be perfect every step of the way. The test of Christianity is to develop our character. And I think that when we become Christians, we understand God's love, that as the years go on, as we study, as we meditate, we start to understand the depth of God's love for us. And I think we start to understand the depth of love we have to have for others. And it's a process. It's not a perfect process, but it's a process nonetheless, is that the depth of love that the Bible is describing for our brothers and sisters in Christ is the love that we're supposed to have for one another is the same love that Jesus had for us. The nature of Christianity, I think, really is self-improvement. How did you improve in this last year? Did you improve in relation to your Christianity and your walk with Christ, Christ living in you? Have there been some changes? Have there been some development? Certainly we want to grow as best we can. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, says, but also, for this reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. You know, this process of growing should not be foreign to a Christian. The idea of growing and doing the best we can to make ourselves better. And as I've studied this and I started to reflect on it and think about it, is that sometimes when love fails, I think that sometimes we could, maybe if we look ourselves in the mirror, it's a failure of our own character. It's our failure of our own spiritual development sometimes. I'm not saying that we're going to become a Christian immediately. We're going to be perfect in all aspects of love. I think that our love is going to grow just like all other aspects of our Christian life. But when my love fails, is it somewhat a failure of self? Is it somewhat a failure of not acknowledging those areas that I need improvement? The expression of our love, I think, gives us a picture of our character. In fact, one time I heard that your expression of love towards your brethren and towards your enemies is a report card on how you understand the sacrifice of Jesus. What's your grade? Are you an A in the love department? Because the idea is that all our love that goes towards our brethren, goes towards our enemies, is coming from God. So the more that we understand the sacrifice of God, the more we understand God and the depth of His love, the more we understand as a Christian how to handle our brothers and sisters in Christ, how to handle those that are against us in all forms. Love is long-suffering. Love is a commitment. There's definitely patience that is involved. The agape love of the Bible, different types of love in the Bible mentioned, but one of those is agape love. And the agape love that's described in the Bible is not a love of the moment. It is a long commitment. A similar love that we should see in marriage as we commit to one another and we try to live our lives in that relationship. It should extend to other areas of our lives, that same type of love. A love not in the moment, but a love that goes a long time. A love that endures the storm. A love that takes on the trial. A love that sometimes jumps in when it needs to jump in. A love that's always there. Tested yet, always there to answer the call. Certainly a love for our brethren is one area that we should consider. Another love that we should consider is a love for our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You know, we're talking about different areas. We talked about our brethren for a little while. There's some challenges. Sometimes our love is tested with our brethren. But now we're going to kind of the other side of the spectrum. Our enemies. It is the depth of love, and the love that the Bible teaches is not a love that is limited to one area. Well, I'm just going to love this group. I'm just going to love this person. I'm just going to love my family. No! Christ's love extended to all. And when He tells us to love, our love certainly goes to our brethren, but He extends it and says, a love that goes all the way to your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Be good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And I think sometimes we get lost in this, and it's interesting because the Bible warns us many times that people in the world will hate us because we're trying to live a righteous life. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." In John chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Do we marvel sometimes that we try to take the love of Christ to the world, and sometimes the world comes after us? The Bible tells us, do not marvel. It's interesting because I think we, maybe at some point in our life, we tell us that, man, why are these people coming after me? You know, I'm not trying to hurt, this is what the Bible says, you know, trying to bring in the most loving way you can, the truth and love. But do we marvel sometimes when people do anything against Christianity? Do we marvel sometimes when perhaps the government comes after certain areas of Christianity? Do we marvel sometimes when the world comes after some of the most innocent aspects of Christianity and try to stuff them out? Do not marvel. You know, don't be shocked. Be prepared, I think, is what the Bible wants us to do. And one of the ways we be prepared is we develop our character in relation to love. Certainly, in our society at this time, it seems like tensions are hot in many areas, and I think that a Christian cannot forget that our love extends to our brethren, but it also extends to our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I think in America, we fell into a trap a few years ago. I'll tell you what I think the trap was. Is that persecution is not the exception, it's the rule. Persecution is not the exception, it is the rule. I think we've been very fortunate for a long time. I still think we're fortunate in our current situation. I really do. I think we're still fortunate. But I think that we have fallen into a trap, where we think that persecution is the exception and not the rule. The Bible teaches that it's the rule. that when we try to align to Christ, when we try to live the Christian life, that people will come out against us. They'll come out of the woodwork. Just try it. Just post a Bible verse on social media and see what happens. Just try to go somewhere and try to just proclaim something from the Bible, and they're going to come. The question is, not if they're going to come. The Bible answers that question for you. The real question for us is, how will we respond when the verbal attacks come, when the physical attacks come, whenever, whatever form of persecution comes, how does the Christian respond? Do we return evil for evil? Romans chapter 12, it tells us not to return evil for evil. It says, leave vengeance to God in Romans chapter 12. Starting around verse 17 and following. It says, don't return evil for evil. It says, overcome evil with good. That's the message of the Bible. And if we don't have a depth of love, we will not endure those trials. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's the rule, not the exception. Now, I'm not saying that it has to be physical, but I'm saying that in some form, a Christian will be persecuted. And I have people that don't agree with me on that front. But I believe it's what the Bible teaches. Even if my tank of love is full, even if I do everything right, still, enemies will come. The question is how will I respond? And Jesus is a great example, right? Could anyone have handled their life better? Could anyone have been more loving? Could anyone have spoken the truth in love better than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I can't think of one. Where did he end up? They put him on a cross. They mocked him. They spat upon him. This task that we have before us is not easy. We're to love our brethren, but it also is to extend to our enemies. And we have to think about that and consider that. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, it gives us the Christian response. The Christian response is not to return evil for evil. And then we have the idea in Matthew chapter 5, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? You're just like the world. You have a shallow love just like the world. That's what they do. If you treat me kindly, I'll treat you kindly. Isn't that... You treat me kindly, I'll treat you kindly. That's not the way of the Christian. You treat me like that, and I'll do the best I can. I'm not saying it's easy. But certainly, our depth of love can be challenged with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but it can also be challenged with our enemies. And those are things that we have to think about and consider, is that we have a challenge of love. We have a challenge of the depth of love that we are to have for those that are around us. Now, some people view loving their enemies as never being bold and never offending or never standing for the truth. I don't think that that's the case. But certainly, I think some people do cross the line. Sometimes when I look and I look on social media and I look at the posts that people have back and forth, sometimes I struggle at finding the love. I'm not saying we can't stand for the truth. I'm saying there is a line that's crossed from time to time when we look out on social media and we see the attacks that are leveled against one another. I do ask myself, do I see any love in that statement? Is there some love there? Now, sometimes love can be a little bit hard. And sometimes love cuts the heart. I understand that. We have to be careful. And we could actually, I think, be right in God's eyes and do something totally loving. The world's going to view it as absolutely hateful. But we have to think as Christians. We can be bold, we can offend, I think, at times, and certainly we can take a stand for the truth, but we do not want to cross the line where we lose the love for our enemies, which is a challenge. So we've talked about love for our brethren. Certainly the Bible teaches that idea. We've talked about love for our enemies. I want to really talk about the depth now. The depth of the love. See, the love that Christ had was for all people. And I think that the Bible kind of says, hey, love your brethren, love your enemies. I mean, you think of that as a spectrum. It's like, yeah, it could be easier for us to love our brethren. Certainly we're going to have problems. But then you go to the other side of the spectrum, the enemy. It's like, okay, God has really shown us we're going to have love for all people, from our brethren to our enemies. And certainly we're going to have issues all within that spectrum with all kinds of people, but certainly love has to be kept. But I want to think about the depth of love for just a few minutes. And when you think about that, Jesus is the driving force of the love that we carry throughout our lives. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 it says that God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. If we were a sinner, I think you could go to the level that you could say that we were an enemy of Christ. We were against Christ to some degree. So Christ died for us when we were his enemies. Now what's interesting is this sacrifice is oftentimes compared to the love we're supposed to have for our brethren and our enemies. Wait, how much love am I supposed to have for my brethren? A sacrificial love. How much love am I supposed to have for our enemies? A sacrificial love. And then you start to look at Christianity. He died for us. He was a sacrifice. All that love is flowing to us as we try to keep the chain going of love. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, says Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." It's a driving force of Christianity. It's one that cannot be left out. If we take out the love of Christianity, what is there? You take out the love of Christ's sacrifice, we don't have Christianity today. It's driven by love. And one of the things that he says is that this love needs to be for God. And then right after he says the love for God, he says the love for your neighbor. But I want you to think about the depth of your love. The depth of love that the Bible wants you to get to is the depth of sacrifice. Now that is a deep, deep level of love. If you look at John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's exactly what Jesus did. He showed us the level of love. Let me show you how to love. It's a love of sacrifice. Not a love of convenience. Not a love that doesn't last. Not a love that lacks commitment. Not a love that's just short. Not a love that's only a love of sacrifice. And he says, love your brother in that way. Love your enemies that way. A love of sacrifice. Can you point out some of your sacrifices in your love to the brethren? Can you point out some of the sacrifices that you've made in the love that you have for your enemies? Can you point to those? The love of the Bible, when we align ourselves to Christ, is really a love of a moral obligation. It's not a fleeting thing. It's a thing that becomes a part of us and we try to live it. It's not a love of convenience. You can tell me, are you going to tell me that it was convenient for Jesus to go to the cross? You think that it was motivated from Jesus? You know, like Jesus thinking about himself? No. It was Jesus thinking about everyone else. A love of sacrifice. He wasn't thinking about himself when the whip was hitting him. He wasn't thinking about himself when the thorns were placed upon his head. He wasn't thinking about himself when the nails were driven through him. He was thinking about everyone else. And isn't that the love we're supposed to have? The love that goes to everyone else? A love of sacrifice is the depth of love that I see. And I can tell you that I don't think that's the love that many times the world tries to sell. It's the love of convenience. It's the love of ease. It's the love that's temporary. It's the love that doesn't get through hard times. The love of the Bible is a love of sacrifice, a love that lasts. It's a love of service. Didn't God do us a great service by going to the cross? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." The love of sacrifice is the love of service. It says, through love, serve one another. You know, when I look at any elders, it doesn't have to be our elders. I look at any elders, I see the love of sacrifice. I don't think you can get around the position of an elder and get around that and not see the love of sacrifice. When I look around and I see gospel preachers, I see a love of sacrifice. When I look around and I see Bible class teachers, I see a love of sacrifice. When I look around and I see Christians, what do we see? We should see the love of sacrifice. The love that Jesus showed to us. The love of sacrifice. A love that's not convenient. A love that's hard at times. A love that takes effort. A love that takes some personal suffering at times. The love of sacrifice. You know, the sacrificial love of God is why we're all here this day. You think about that. What else could have brought so many people from so many different backgrounds here today? It's the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's how we can stand united. The love of God is not shallow. It is not cheap. It is not quick. but it's quite the opposite. The deep sacrificial love of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17 it says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you always. Paul describes his life as a sacrifice. Could you say the same? We all have different talents and we can all do different things, but can you point to aspects of your life where you're saying, I am showing the sacrificial love of Christ? In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. But also for the, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. You know, love is the purest motive that we can have. Because it's motivated out of selflessness. See, the love of sacrifice is very little focused on self, it's focused on others. And when you think about your love for your brethren, is the love that you have more focused on you, or is it more focused on them? When you think about the love that you have for your enemies or anyone, is it more focused on you, or is it more focused on them? See, the love that Jesus had, the sacrificial love, was focused on everybody else but himself. And that's a powerful love. It's not a love of our wishes, sometimes. It's not a love of our wants, sometimes. It's not a love of our desires, sometimes, our own desires. But it's the love of sacrifice that puts other things before our own. Sometimes the love drives us to take the back seat. Sometimes it's the drive to have us do something that we wouldn't do if it was just for ourselves. Sometimes it's something that makes us go with someone else's preferences and not our own. We're not talking about compromising truth. We're just talking about love and seeing where love is needed. What sacrifice have you made recently? That's certainly what Jesus did for us. And it's the love he says have for your brethren. It's the love he says have for our enemies. Perhaps you realize the love of Jesus Christ. You realize that he came here and was a sacrifice for us, and he gave us a plan that we can become followers of his. We see all throughout the book of Acts, we see the individuals, they heard the word, they believed it, they repented, they confessed, and they were baptized. And they were followers of God. They were baptized for the remission of sins, so that their sins could be washed away. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Certainly, Christ's love is a driving force of Christianity, and we have to make sure that it doesn't get stamped out. If you are subject to Lord's invitation in any way, we ask to please come as we stand and as we sing.